Pick up the authorized version of the Holy Scriptures in front of you in the pew and turn with me to the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel's prophecy, and we're reading from the chapter 18. We're going to read the first four verses of chapter 18 and then verses 19 to 23. The 18th chapter of Ezekiel, verses 1 to 4. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, What mean ye, that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And then turning over to verse 19 of the same chapter. Yet say ye, why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul of that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him in his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God? And not that he should return from his ways and live. And God will stamp his own divine seal of approval and blessing on the reading of this very infallible word of the living God. I take the promised Holy Ghost. The blessed power of Pentecost to fill me to the uttermost, I take. Thank God, he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. You may be seated. Every year that passes beats its own death drums. The sound of the death drums throws a sharp and dark shadow over our contemplation of yet another year that has passed away. Many, many years ago, I read a very amazing story of the dark continent of Africa. And the explorer said, there was one thing he would always remember, and he would never be able to blot it out of his mind. And that was the day and the hour when the death drums started their dreadful and terrifying music. This man wrote in a day when Africa was the black continent. And he said, ever so often, the death drums in the villages where he stayed sounded. They were weird. They were sinister. They were fearful. They were threatening. They were terrifying. They became louder and louder. They got dreadful and even more dreadful. And they got closer and even more closer. But when they had reached their highest pitch, the first yell of the first victim was heard. And so the whole satanic performance was punctuated with yell after yell, scream after scream, shout after shout, as the murderous stage ran crimson red with the blood of those who were being murdered. At the end of every year, we would do well to take time to remember the beating of the death drums of yet another year and all their terrible atrocities. It was said of Noah's day, the earth was filled with violence. The same can be said again and again about this year that ends this very night. Yes, we have heard these murder drums beat, but there is an urgent message that we should learn when we consider their beating. That message goes largely unheeded by a sin-hardened world and by the souls who live in that sin-hardened world. The beating of the death drums of this year 2006 reveals certain facts about death which we seem too quick to forget. One great fact is this, that sin is a master murderer. Hear this word as the death drums begin the dark life-ending serenade of your immortal soul. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 4. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And then in verse 20, it is repeated. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. This chapter 18 of Ezekiel commences with this great fact. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. And it ends with the reinforcement of that same solemn message. The story of sin, never you forget it, is the story of death. And the story of death is the story of sin. You cannot have sin without death. And you cannot have death without sin. The first death in the Bible was the death of Abel. We read concerning that, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. 1 John 3 and verse 12. But you, sinner, have lifted your murderous hands against someone far beyond in excellence than Abel ever could be or would be. You have, by your sins, murdered Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible tells me you have slain the Prince of Life. The Bible charges you, my sinner friend, this night with the greatest possible and the vilest possible crime, the crucifying of the Son of God and the putting him to an open shame. And you've done it with a shrug of your shoulders. You've done it without your conscience giving you one sting of pain. You've done it consistently and persistently for all your life. But the death drums will beat. And their message, if not heard by you in time, will be heard by you in thunder in eternity. The Bible tells me, if they shall fall away, it is impossible to renew them unto repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Think of it. The one death of Christ has not been enough for you. You have crucified the Lord afresh, and you have put him to an open shame. Secondly, note that death is inescapable. Hear this serious, this solemn, this searching word from the very Word of God. Let the drumsticks be as chisels, stabbing it into your heart and your conscience. 2 Samuel 14 and 14, we must needs die. We must needs die. We must needs die. What a sentence this is. It is short. It is inclusive. It pronounces a judgment from which there is no escape. We must needs die. There is no escape. Death will be the final conqueror. You cannot escape from death. You too, in God's appointed time, if the Lord should tarry, will face the darkest and coldest river that human feet ever touched or ever trembled before. It's time you faced up to the reality of death. We must needs die As the daft drum beats, let it with its morbid music drive your soul to consider that word must. You must die. This is an inescapable must from which there is no escape and can be no escape. Die you must, and die you will. Run here, or run there. Run everywhere. Run nowhere, but you will never find a place from death, nor an escape route from the restless drum of certain death. You cannot escape. You will not escape. You will most certainly die. There is another truth that needs to be emphasized, and it is this: death is right beside you as I address you. Listen to the word of God in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 3. There is but a step between me and death. Oh, you say, I have years to live. Have you? I have plenty of time before the undertaker comes for my body. Have you? The blessed holy book says of you and of me, there is but a step between me and death. There is but a step between me and death. You keep company with death every day. It's your constant companion. Yes, and every moment of every day. Every son and daughter of Adam's race lives under the death sentence. The court of Almighty has met. It has had its solemn session. Its verdict is signed and settled. And the verdict is one of death of all of Adam's guilty race. Sooner or later. But in God's time, your life and my life will be called, and you will be forced to withdraw from this world to seek and stand before the judge of the whole earth. But can these sins unto certain death not be conquered? Can the generations of the guilty race be saved from the damnation of everlasting flames? Is there no hope for dying man and dying woman? Yes, thank God there is hope. The God who righteously condemns sinners can righteously save sinners. He that must sentence guilty sinners to death can save those very sinners and give to them the gift of eternal life, a life that will never die, but will live as long as God lives. God has found a way whereby his banished be not always expelled from him. The power of eternal death can be smashed by the one who in himself is eternal life. One day, when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my Redeemer is he. Living he loved me, dying he saved me. Buried he carried my sins far away. Rising we were justified freely forever. And one day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. The greatest of all battles ever fought. The greatest of all conflicts in which there was a striving for victory was fought on the brow of a small hill outside Jerusalem's city wall, the hill called Golgotha. And on that summit of that hill, the God-man, the only substitute for sinners, lost sinners, hell-deserving sinners, condemned sinners, their substitute was the Lord of life and death, who took on single-handed the fiends of hell, led by Prince Beelzebub himself, Lord Satan of perdition. All the batteries of Satan's artillery powdered the fire into Christ's body, soul, and spirit as he hung naked on that dark cross. But in the midst of all his tortures and all his terrors, he still found time to pray the prayer of forgiveness for those who nailed him to the old tree of Calvary. And he prayed when they put the nails in his hands and his feet. He prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And in the midst of further agony and pain and suffering, he looked down at his virgin mother and he provided for her future. For he was leaving this world forever. And he pointed to John, the youngest and most well-beloved of all his disciples. And he said, "Mother, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." He provided for her future here on earth a home until she crossed over to the heavenly home of his eternal Father. But that's not all. He had time to turn to a wretch that hung on a cross beside him. A dying thief who had just thrown in his teeth the vilest and blackest curse he could conjure up to torment Christ with. He looked at that poor sinner and he said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Those three examples of Christ's love in the death throes of Calvary proves to us the loving heart of the blessed Lord Jesus. In the conflict, he was the victor of Calvary all the way. And there in his sufferings, he opened a fountain for sin and for all uncleanness. And the merit of his precious blood is more than tongue can tell. He finished his torment, his pains, his terrors, his fears, and his warfare by crying, finished. And the perfect work of redemption was achieved. The ransom was fully paid. Full free salvation was made available to whosoever will. And on the third day, from that tomb he came forth, from the prison house of the sepulchre forever. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Hear him as he has just risen from the dead. He cries out, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14. Christ will give no repentance to death. He will give no hope to the grave. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. The risen Savior stands beside you, sinner, now. And he stands there to impart to you for all eternity the blessing of eternal salvation, deliverance from the wrath to come, and the impartation in the human heart of eternal life, not eternal death. Then take with assurance from Jesus at once the life everlasting he gives. And know with assurance thou never canst die, since Jesus, thy righteousness, lives. Your only hope to escape the terrors of eternal death and to escape the worm that never dies is to call on Christ now to save your soul, to wash you in his precious blood, and give to you life everlasting. Do it now. Don't let another minute of time pass. This is the only time you can be sure of. Behold, now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy good and holy word. And I pray now that no man or no woman, no boy or girl will leave this house until they find saving faith in the Savior. Help those who have heard this word to face up to the reality and solemnity of death. But help them to face up to the fact that Jesus can save them from eternal death and give them eternal life. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Save souls now for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen.